Never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden, exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Hey, welcome back, folks, to this segment of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Doug Hagman flying solo until tomorrow when Joe returns. We are so fortunate to have with us our guest right now, Jonathan Matthew Wright, thecodesearcher.com. You know, it's one thing to look at the headlines and to look at them critically, analytically, and from a, I guess I'll say a secular viewpoint. And it's an entirely different way to look at them from the angle of the Bible code, a Bible code. And Eric the Tech and I were talking during the break as we were passing each other for the water cooler there. And he said, you know, it's really, there's a lot to this and there's a lot there. And indeed it is. Indeed there is. Now, before we get back with our guest, I want to ask you folks, have you gone to MinutemanStove.com yet? Now, folks, this is not a sales pitch. This is just a statement. It's my understanding from a conversation I had with Mr. Miller, who owns Minuteman Stove. They're selling out of these stoves. I mean, they're selling a lot of these stoves, these rocket stoves. And in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of the most important daily tasks, and that's cooking, preparing food. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water, a disruption in the power supply or fuel distribution. It could put most people out of business. Now, a Minuteman rocket stove can provide you, your family, or the group, neighborhood, whatever, it would be the perfect solution. It's small, it's lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. We have one here. It is an ammo can, reinforced. It's got a burner on top. I mean, I'm not a camper, and I'm not one for outdoors that much. But I will say that it's easy to use, it's very efficient, and if I can use it, I can guarantee you, you can too. And this is one thing that we often forget about. We have a lot. Well, let's say you've got a lot of stored up long-term storable food. Well, how are you going to cook it? Well, I've got my propane. I've got the... Okay, no. You know what? You better make sure you've got plan B. And this, to me, this would be plan A, actually, because I can control the heat with this. And frankly, wood... You know, it's readily accessible, and when you burn wood, there's always a supply there too. When you burn wood in an open fire, it's inefficient. With this, I must tell you that it is really a unique device. Now, this is not your made in China. No, no, no. This is made right here in America by Americans. by people who are patriots. And don't forget, we do grill the owners and the product as well. And they passed our test, believe me. And I recommend this product highly. Folks, just go to MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. And order yours today and get fire starters with them as well. The fire starters are just unbelievable. You talk about being able to start a fire. If you can't start a fire with one of the fire starters from Minuteman Stove, seek help, because I can guarantee you one or two strikes from these fire starters will definitely get the job done. MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com. And I want to thank each and every one of you for joining, staying with us over this hour. And I want to thank our guests for sticking with us as well. What a wonderful guest, and what a wonderful topic to talk about. Before we get back to Jonathan Matthew Wright, we were talking earlier about race relations here in America. A recent poll, 70% say race relations are horrible. In fact, the highest since the Los Angeles riots. Now, I was driving through the city of Buffalo during the LA riots, and I can tell you that the tension was palpable in the air during the height of those riots. And it's even gotten to the point where countries are warning their citizens about coming to the United States because of race relations. This is not, folks, this is not a distraction. This is all part of their plan. This is not an unfortunate byproduct. This is part of their plan. And it's interesting because our guest, Jonathan Matthew Wright, thecodesearcher.com, bookmark that site, by the way, because coming out all the time with great information. It's interesting because we were talking about the different factions here. Louis Farrakhan, Nation of Islam. Folks, all of these groups are combining forces under the umbrella in funding, in operational tactics of some of the most, some of the richest and most powerful people in the world. And they're being set loose right now under this regime, under this Obama regime here in America. And it's happening in Europe. It's happening all across the world. Ethnos.
Isn't that what that song, and I believe Charles Manson made this very popular, Helter Skelter, this race war that would be the end time apocalyptic kind of scenario. But even further back than that, wasn't it Albert Pike? Isn't this part of the elite's plan to turn the races against one another? Folks, you can absolutely see that taking place before your eyes. The codes are reflecting that. The elites have told us this. What else do we need to convince those that you're in the end times, that indeed these things are taking place? Folks like the Hagmans and shows, not to plug other shows, but like Alex Jones, they don't seem so crazy no more. You know, that it's very plausible. These things we're seeing them take place. No more of the that's just conspiracy theory, you crazy nuts. No, it's taking place, and it's a part of judgment.
Great point. Yeah, yeah. You know, and as I speak with other talk show hosts, whether it be Alex Jones or J.B. Wells, we talk about this time and this right now, and you are confirming it for us through the Bible codes. And I just find it interesting how everything is lining up with one another. And now we are, well, we're at a point now where if anyone denies that we are in the final stages of what God has planned for us, then you know what, we can't even have a conversation at that point if you deny it. I mean,
yeah, Yeah, well, you know, the psychology involved here in desensitizing from Hollywood and all the Illuminati stuff in your face with the Super Bowl production and the Voice and the American Idol stuff. You know, Americans are so dumbed down and desensitized now that when things take place and when they begin to become more accelerated, they're stunned. In the position they're in, like a deer in the headlights, not knowing what to do at that point, but you know, just stand there stunned. This is a bad thing. For folks need to be prepared and vigilant and hyper aware of what's going on around you. Your rights and your guns are being taken from you. This is a repeated history, just like World War II.
Right,
exactly what Hitler did.
You know, before we get into the big topic here, too, a bigger topic of perhaps a world war, an atomic war, let me ask you, you mentioned about guns being taken away, gun confiscation. I truly believe that there will be, that's going to happen. The attempt will be made. Now, there is a really big problem, okay? I mean, they attempt to take our guns away. There's a big problem. If right. one looks at this, just simply, if we just look at this as, okay, the government's going to knock on your door to get your guns, and that's it. But wait, there are other factors here, because you may be hungry. There might not be food, and in order for you to get food, you got to turn in your guns. I mean,
yeah,
what, you know, so many other possibilities, right?
Well, you think so, but here's the thing: we've got a president that seems to, you know, sign into law all these executive order when no one's looking. So what's going to happen when, you know, we have this lame duck president who is, you know, really being puppeteered by the elites, passing over the baton to the next wicked one to come into the office. This lame duck president signing into law some sort of gun confiscation, something similar to what happened in Australia. You know, it was all in one day. They turned right. in their guns. It was law. And now they are a gunless nation. That's the kind of thing you could see that take place. I mean, this is his pattern. He does what he wants to, regardless of what Congress says or what the people say.
Well, let me ask you this: aside from Bible code, what do you think? Just kind of talking here at the dining room table, what would it take for a successful gun confiscation, or what would it take for the government to say, "Okay, that's it. You're a gun owner today. If you're going to gun tomorrow, you're going to be a felon."
Exactly. Yeah. What would it take? Exactly, and I think that's why we've seen things like, quote, Sandy Hook, which was, you know, what would be more outrageous than the massacre of innocent school children? Wow, and that's what we see takes place, and it's used as fodder against the gun holders. So that's not enough. So they move on to the next thing. Muslims in San Bernardino doing a massacre, and so on and so on. And now here we are. You know, someone who wants to kill white police officers. Why? Because of all the social media being blasted with images of executions by police officers. So it's all of this is being fed like into a fire to incite to, you know, I don't know if you're aware, but there's something that's supposed to take place called the Day of Rage in
yes.
like two days. This right. is something that comes from Islam, brother. It's basically what they do, when they go on suicide bombing missions or when they simultaneously start slaughtering people. In the Middle East or in some discotheque in Israel, so they're calling for this in 2 days.
That's right. Now, I would caution people because, Mr. Wright, I've seen some of the published Day of Rage locations. I believe it to be true. I believe that, yes, there is a Day of Rage scheduled. I think, like you had said about other things, there's some purposeful disinformation out there. Some of the locations are not right, but go ahead.
And even if this event does happen, what is legitimate? What is government orchestrated? I can tell you this, and this is from a deceased family member who participated in things that happened at Berkeley during the 60s. He was government trained. He was in the military and was government trained to show up at some of these protests during that time and to do exactly what Soros is paying people do at Trump rallies. Brother, it's still taking place. It's still going on. There's instigating situations to take place. This was a rally, Black Lives Matter, that happened in Dallas. That they used that situation to turn it into a slaughter. So all we could do is be vigilant to watch what takes place, to be aware, and see what happens, brother. I pray that the Father have mercy on this nation, but as it stands, the way it seems it's going to go is just get worse and worse as we go through this process of judgment.
Yeah, and what we're seeing right now, would you say, are we under judgment by God? The race relations, the inflation, whatever it might be, Or is this judgment from God, or is this self-imposed, self-inflicted stuff?
I think, well, when we talk about self as maybe a collective people, the Father uses the other vessels to judge. So I think it's both to be true. We're in the phases of chastening or judgment, as far as getting to the point of all out wrath. I don't think that we're to that point yet.
Right,
we do
right.
serve a merciful Elohim, and what he wants is for people to turn back to him, to repent and come back to him. That's what he wants in this chastening. What ends up happening when that fails to take place is the wrath does come. The judgment does fall upon the wicked, and usually the righteous witnesses take place. We can see the writing on the wall as it is now. It doesn't seem like there's any remorse to this country. It's more and more wicked every day, and in some cases they're even proud of it. This thing with pride seems to be a theme in this country. There's going to be a humble spirit sweep over. I'm telling the viewers now, that is one of the fears that I have for this country is the country being humiliated and brought low, because that seems to be the prophetic scriptures and some of these codes, as this country being the one that's untouchable and finally humbled, and the rest of the world sees it and is shocked. That is the pattern.
You know, the hubris that we exude. Now, pride is one thing. I mean, when I say pride, I'm talking about being proud of oneself, your accomplishments, who you are, a healthy pride. But when that becomes perverted and turns into this hubris, this
haughtiness,
there you go. Then it becomes a real issue, and we've seen what happened with Rabbi Kahn and the We've just seen so much, and it amazes me too, just conversationally here. It amazes me that people can deny this. Well, nothing happened with respect to the Shemitah or whatever. It's not over yet. The final code isn't written. You know?
Exactly, and here's the other thing about that: they're not exactly sure when the Shemitah is or was. That was debatable, but so that needs to be said. There was still a debate in Israel about when was the Jubilee, when was the Shemitah. So technically, that is not 100% sure of when that is. We are definitely in that season. We could still be in the Shemitah year going out. So the fact of the matter is, he brought that information to light. It does seem to be something that's plays a part here. But in his defense, they're not quite sure when the Jubilee or Shemitah is or was. So, yeah.
Right. And again, this goes back to hubris, more personal than national, of course, saying, well, you know, man, was that person wrong or whatever. You know, I think the jury's still out on a lot of things, including that. So we can't be quick to judge. All right. Now, getting back to your work here, because I'm fascinated by this. I have up on the monitor here, it's the Atomic Holocaust. Now, that caught my attention. I'm thinking, wait a minute. The Russian ambush is coming. I hear people like Dave Hodges talking about this and others talking about this and saying, hey, look, there's a problem here. Now you're finding it in the Bible code. Talk to us.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Don't ruin my day.
All right, one of the most famous in the eschatological world, end-time prophecy is that of Zechariah 5, when it talks about the flying Megillah, or the flying roll that flies across the face of the earth. This, of course, is the chapter that talks about the woman sitting inside the basket. Incidentally, some of us believe that woman is a mistranslation. It is the other word, Ish, which is fire. And if you read it in that context, a fire sitting inside of a basket with a lead disc as a lid, what is given to Zechariah here is the exact dimensions of a missile that flies across the face of the earth. That's exactly what Tomahawk missiles do. And here we have it in Zechariah 5. The outcome of that, which this can't be good. Oh, yeah, this is where the people's eyes melt in their sockets. I mean, Zechariah talks about this explicitly. This is yet to happen. Now, the access term, Atomic Holocaust, was, of course, found by Michael Drosnin a few years ago, and it has yet to happen, obviously. But as you can see there in that table, there is a lot of information that has come up. Several nations are there with the United States, Russia, China, Israel, of course, is there, Iran, even North Korea. You can see running off to the left side there, Korea is running through the children of Israel in the light blue. They're all there.
Korea.
Yeah. And so what is all that about, brother? This is at a skip. I don't know if you see that at the bottom, the 1044, which seemed to indicate the 44th president, the 10 kings, or the 10 countries that may be playing a part in this. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But keep in mind, these codes, these modern-day terms that we're looking at here, have been encoded in this scripture for thousands of years. And here we are in the time spoken of in Daniel, of the time where knowledge is increased, man is running to and fro to seal it up until then. That is now, and these are the things we're looking at encoded right here. This table is one of the most famous ones, and like I said, is yet to happen. Could this be the year? Well, 2016 is in here. So was the year that he found it. But what does that mean? It could have been that the year that he found that actual table. Again, this goes back to this can't just be for predicting. That's obvious. This has been around a while. So what does it mean? It's yet to be seen, brother.
Well, folks, you know, our guest is bringing you information. And it's for your assessment, for we don't know, but here the headlines read, new Russian bomber able to launch nuclear attacks from space. Year after nuclear deal with Iran. Iran still chance, death to America. North Korea readying, potential event. You know, they're being watched by China. We're seeing all of this all right now, and I'm looking at the chart. There's a whole lot of stuff here.
Absolutely, and that's what makes it improbable that this is there by accident. All of these terms coming together. If you think about this, the axis term itself, each one of those letters is like a combination number on a combination lock. And so we find that. Then after you find that, you find all of these modern and ancient terms that come together. Like I was just reading to you what Zechariah talked about and trying to describe a modern event in ancient terms. He's clearly describing some sort of missile. The dimensions given there specifically are exactly what we have for ICBMs, incidentally. So to find these codes layered over these types of verses indicates to me the Father wants us to know this information. He certainly didn't hide this from us, brother. You've heard me say this before. He hid this for us. These scriptures were written for us. So he put it there for us to find. It could be because of the time that we live, this time of confusion where people are so doubtful. You need evidence to be confident in what you're hearing or seeing. Who knows? We're still, like I said, trying to figure out why he has these here. The thing is, they are there. But it seems to indicate something dreadful on its way.
You know, yeah, and I looked at that, and I'm a newbie neophyte. I don't know what I'm looking at with these Bible codes. However, you do, and if you are looking at this, well, you are looking at this. Everyone's looking at this. If you're watching it on YouTube, but looking at this, if you were going to assess this as maybe a crime scene technician would assess a crime scene. What are you seeing here? Are you seeing that Russia is going to attack the United States in a moment of weakness, perhaps? Or are you seeing, perhaps, that we are going to be weakened by something else and Russia is going to come and take us over? Or is Russia going to come to our aid? Or is this clearly, as you put it, a Russian ambush?
Right. I think the thing is when you see these kind of things in the codes, that you take into consideration what you've seen take place in the mainstream and news on the internet, and you make an assessment. Is this valid? Is this something that's possible? And absolutely it is. Vladimir Putin himself even made comments that he could not believe how close America was to war, and that Americans weren't even aware. He was almost pleading for Americans to wake up. But you can definitely, all you have to do is just look around. They're buzzing Americans' ships.
Right.
If that had happened during the Reagan years, I mean, they wouldn't have gotten 100 miles close to a ship, and they would have gone into some sort of conflict. And now we have these Russian pilots. They're doing acrobatics over warships. This is giving us an indication there's no respect there. And incidentally, while we're on that subject, let me just say this current administration has spent a lot of time dismantling the military. I heard statistic that currently worldwide we have less than 500,000 soldiers in the United States Army, which is very concerning, brother, because Russia has about that many in their mechanized division alone. So we cannot defend ourselves, for one. We cannot sustain any more conflict, basically fighting two fronts, two conflicts, two wars, two different fronts for this many years has brought us to the brink of collapse. The same thing happened to the Soviet Union for being in Afghanistan almost 10 years or more. When they pulled out, that's when they collapsed. Here we are in the very same situation, and I believe Russia is just kind of standing there watching, knowing what's going to happen, and just waiting for the death rattle to be over as far as the United States is concerned with the economy and such. It's all going to a one world government. That is the bottom line. That's kind of where the elites want us to go when they're collapsing the dollar. They're taking away their rights. This is the end game.
end game indeed. And, you know, we're looking at trouble on multiple fronts. I mean, we can look at no matter what it is, we see trouble everywhere. I mean, it's not even again, it's not up for debate. You know, your task as I'm kind of stepping back a little bit again here. Your task in searching the codes of the Bible. How is this? I guess. How has this affected your faith in God, your faith in the Bible, your faith in the inerrant Word of God? Has this given you greater faith because of what you've seen, or has it had no impact on it?
Oh, absolutely, it has an impact. Brother, I believe it's solidified, it's deepened my walk, the way the Ruach HaKodesh has revealed himself through the codes. Reveal things the questions that I had wondered. That I believe that's one of the reasons for the codes, is to answer some of the unleft answered questions in the Bible. For instance, right. the second witness. We know one is Elijah. It's left up for grabs for who the other is. Well, for me, the codes answered that. The question about rapture. That has been a subject I've had to search out. I was taught a pre-trib rapture. Of course, there are a couple of different views on that: pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. The one thing about the codes, it indicated there is a catching away, but it was unclear of which time this rapture would take place.
According to
the codes, it solved that question for me. As well, so there are areas that it's absolutely strengthened my faith. It's drawn me closer to Him, and He's revealed Himself in His Word in another witness, so to speak.
Right. Okay. All right. Fantastic. Well, okay. I'm going to turn it back over to you. We've covered seemingly a lot of ground here. We've got a few minutes left of this segment before we cut you loose. Why don't you take us where you want to take us in terms of your findings of the Bible code, the immediacy, whatever you feel is that people should know today and people should know in the near term, the things that you might have found that you haven't published yet, or that you've published that you might want to expand upon. Go ahead. Talk about anything at this point.
Well, here's the thing. It is going to get darker before it gets lighter, folks. But the thing to remember is the Father is still on the throne, and you still have a Savior who's coming to take us into the kingdom. That is for sure. Now, what happens to then, up until then, is going to happen. You know, the debate whether you go in a pre-trib, a mid-trib, or whatever, it doesn't really matter. As long as you are sealed in Him, that is the bottom line. You know, the things with the Bible codes, it is a passion that I have that I'm happy to share with others. I believe they play a major role in the end times in clearing some of these things up, in validating others, and such. So,
your studies of this, I mean, certainly being having an understanding of what you do, or having an understanding of Bible codes or Bible codes themselves, it's not a salvation issue. Okay.
Right,
however,
right.
It certainly enhances one's understanding, depending on how one looks at things. It enhances one's understanding of the Word of God and about the Bible as well, you know.
Absolutely. I believe it's a tool that edifies the body. Another connection, like I said earlier, is the ephod, which was something that edified the body. It was a tool that was used in communicating with the Father. Now our Creator chose to do this. This is not something that just, we just pulled out of the air in the end times and decided, wow, that's just, you know, a parlor trick and let's just amaze people. No, He put this here because there is an enemy that is determined to destroy his work, to disrupt, to discourage, and to confuse. With this, boy, the scriptures, the scriptures is our battle plan, our book of love, our promise, and he has hidden messages in there. And that is completely clear. The scriptures even says in Proverbs, it talks about it is an honor for him to hide a matter and for kings to search it out. It is in his nature that he hides things. And so it's just one of those amazing passions that comes along once you get into it and it gets a hold of you, you can't let it go because it's something that's just a real experience. I can't put it into words. But like I said, it plays a role. What kind of role it plays is yet to be determined, really. It's, amen, something we're learning about every day.
I always want to say, hey, is my name in there? And I have a feeling everyone's name is in the book of life or in the Bible.
It's interesting that you use that term, brother, the book of life, because that is something that I've actually found in the codes, the book of life. The codes seem to, or the Bible itself seems to be connected. The book of life is the Bible, and I believe that if you're called by his name, if you're written in there, that your name is indeed encoded.
Interesting. Indeed. Well, we're going to have you back. Your work is always interesting. Your findings are always interesting. I really appreciate what you do, and I appreciate you taking your time out of your very busy schedule. And I know that those people watching us on YouTube have seen a picture of your I want to say lair, your workstation, which you can tell a lot. At least I can tell a lot by someone's workstation. At least I think I can anyway. But we're gonna have to have you back and.
That'll be great, Doug. Detail. Thank you, guys, for having me on and being my friend. And you mentioned earlier, we have met actually a couple of times one of these one or another of these conferences. And I'm a real person, just as you and your son are. We're those watchmen on the wall, trying to get the truth out to people, uncompromising. I try to be in this ministry one that doesn't want to tickle ears, brother, and as uncomfortable as it gets sometimes, you do what you got to do, and you got to put sometimes the uncomfortable things out there. It's a task given to me.
Well, before I cut you loose, give out your website and your YouTube and anything else before I cut you loose. Go ahead.
Sure. You guys can find me at codesearcher.net on YouTube. You can also find me at thecodesearcher.com. You can also find us on Saturday nights at thecodesearcher.com/livestream, where we broadcast every Saturday night at 8 p.m. Mountain Time over there on the webpage. Appreciate your support and your friendship, brother.
Thank you so much.
My prayers to Joe as he recovers from, I understand he's having a surgery or something. So
yeah,
we're praying for him.
He'll be back tomorrow. But thank you so much for your prayers and thanks for joining us. God bless you, my friend.
Thank you.
Until next time. All right, bro. Take care. Folks, and that was Jonathan Matthew Wright, thecodesearcher.com. Interesting, isn't it? In terms of Well, if you watch the television series Numbers, kind of like that in a sense. Very interesting indeed. And definitely visit his website, webpage. Interesting guest, to say the least. And no, it's not salvation necessary for one's salvation. But isn't it interesting to consider that stuff like this, at least in my view, based on what I found, really makes the Bible come alive for me, in addition to everything else. As we close out our program tonight, we were talking, we began talking about the racial problems. And isn't it interesting, of course, Drudge now comes out and says the race relations, 70% say race relations bad, worst or as bad as the LA riots, and remember that time period, of course. But this didn't happen overnight, and this did not happen because that we have what people believe, who people believe to be a black president. He is not black. He's Arab. He's as the lineage is Arab, not black, but that's another subject for another day. But what has happened here, and just to bring this all together and to bring this home, as we approach the conventions, as we approach the day days of rage, the summer of rage, which we are in. But as we approach this 37-city Day of Rage event, will anything happen with that? I am more inclined to believe that it's not going to happen that way. Yes, there is a danger. I truly believe there's a danger, and I believe that one can look at the Days of Rage or the Day of Rage scheduled for Friday, 37 cities, and take that as a go signal. But I believe something a little bit differently is perhaps more likely. We have been infiltrated. As I've said many times before, America is a captured operation. To give you an example of the depth of our capturing, we have a congressman. And to bring this together, Congressman Keith Ellison, he's a Muslim, he's in Congress, he took his oath on a Quran. Joe Kaufman, back in 2007, talked about Keith Ellison, and this is relevant to today, because all of the warning bells were going off years ago, and no one was paying attention, and people were dropping and stop. They were not talking about this because, oh, that's racist. Oh, that's being a bigot. That is wrong to talk about. Let me tell you how Congressman Keith Ellison fits into all of this as well. Citing from Joe Kaufman's report from 2007, bringing it to today. Anti-Semitism and Keith Ellison, well, they seem to be, well, they seem to gravitate toward one another. It was the case throughout the 1990s when Ellison was heavily active in the Nation of Islam. You may think, folks, I'm driving home too much, too hard, the Nation of Islam. But understand, there is this merging, this melding between the Muslims that are being imported into the country, the Muslims already here, the black Nation of Islam, of course, the converts to Islam, and then you've got other disparate groups. Now you're seeing all of this being combined, but you're also seeing at the higher levels of government Islam being embraced. You're seeing cities and towns embracing Sharia. But in the matter of Keith Ellison, very active in the Nation of Islam in the 1990s, and he is said to have renounced his ties with the Nation of Islam. But let's go back to May of 2006, when he was a candidate for the House. Keith Ellison faxed a letter to the executive director of the Minnesota Jewish Community Relations Council, stating that there has been much speculation about my past connections to the Nation of Islam. I've long since distanced myself from and rejected the Nation of Islam due to its propagation of bigoted and anti-Semitic ideas and statements, as well as other issues. Now, this is Ellison talking, and there's a reason I'm bringing this up now. Well, he writes, I have a deep and personal aversion to anti-Semitism, regardless of its source, and I reject and condemn the anti-Semitic statements and actions of the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan, and Khalid Muhammad. Khalid Muhammad was the original, well, he's dead now, but he was the head of the Nation of Islam. Well, since denying all of that, Ellison was involved with the Joe Kaufman, indeed, although he has since denied it, Ellison was involved with the Nation of Islam for 10 years, and in that time he participated in the Nation of Islam rallies, including the Million Man March, Hate Fest. He defended the Nation of Islam hate speech, and he used such NOI aliases as Keith Hakim, Keith X. Ellison, and Keith Ellison Muhammad. Again, this is back in 2007. Ellison is still in Congress right now. His connections, as I was looking at the connections of our congressmen and in, as well as Hillary Rodham Clinton, her foundation to organizations, anti-Semitic and pro-Islamic, I have found many tangential ties, financial and otherwise, and working ties between Hillary Clinton and these groups. Now, where Ellison comes in, I do believe that when he was running for the House, he denounced the Nation of Islam. He then, obviously, was elected into the House and re-elected since, of course. But he has employed the doctrine of Taqiyya, I believe. This is my personal belief. And he has fooled his constituents in all of America into believing that he is this peaceful pacifist who would absolutely denounce any type of violence. But when you start putting together the dots, when you start connecting the dots, you will find, ladies and gentlemen, that he has ties, of course, to the Muslim American Society, which was established by the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood, which is the group that was responsible for the founding of such terrorist organizations as Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and you name it, Islamic Jihad, Egyptian Islamic Jihad, Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Today, it mostly acts as an activist organization holding conferences and youth camps throughout the United States. But having said all of that, when you look at Ellison and his associates, that takes you into a broader pool of associates. Huma Abedin, Hillary's personal aide, I'm not exactly sure how to describe her, her connection to Muslim Brotherhood, the Muslim Brotherhood. What we're finding now is not just an overlap, but a working relationship of members within the government with working with non-governmental organizations, and even those with opposing agendas, at least opposing, or not opposing agendas, but opposing ideologies, much like Sunni versus Shia. You are seeing interesting bedfellows develop between people like Ellison and members of the Muslim Brotherhood and all of these groups, including but not limited to the Nation of Islam, that are now have been reformulated, have been reinforced by the ideology, by the takedown of the United States. In other words, by the intended takedown of the United States. The reason I brought this up, again, is to let you know that at these conferences or conventions, and as you walk down the street, and I don't want to scare people, but I want to warn people. As I mentioned with the Nation of Islam, the murders, the 179 days of terror in San Francisco, the zebra killings as they were known back in the 1970s, please do research on that. Please understand what the zebra murders were. Folks, we are seeing this now come into play again. And it's interesting, too, because as soon as John Matthew Wright came on, he said, hey, you mentioned Louis Farrakhan. It's right here, here in the Bible Code. I believe this to... I believe this is no coincidence. And certainly, biblical in nature, apocalyptic in nature. So what I'm saying here is, as I'm looking at the Nation of Islam, domestic terrorism, as I'm looking at the new Black Panther Party, the Black Panther Party, and I'm looking at the Muslim Brotherhood, the so-called political activist groups like the Council on American Islamic Relations, we are seeing as well the mosques in this country acting as many are acting as bases, if you will, for this vast operation to take down America's values from within. This could have only happened under Barack Hussein Obama. I don't believe, timing-wise, it could have happened under Hillary Clinton back in 2008 if she was the candidate. But what Obama started, and I really want people to look into this, as my DHS insider said, what Obama started, and he was the right man at the right time, what he started, Hillary Rodham Clinton will finish. Oh, and I found another interesting tidbit here. Speaking of the Nation of Islam and groups that are tied together, this kind of it. When I saw this, I had to double check this because I thought, no, this can't even possibly be true. Hang on, I'll find it. Yeah, it's right here. Nation of Islam, which by the way, they're based out of Chicago. Did you know that Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam, did you know they borrowed $8 million? Or they were lent $8 million by Muammar Gaddafi? Does it make you wonder if that debt to the Nation of Islam was canceled upon the death of Gaddafi and the takeover of Libya under Hillary Rodham Clinton? Just asking. That's right. The Nation of Islam borrowed $8 million or was funded. It was actually, they borrowed it. But Gaddafi funded the Nation of Islam, $8 million to the tune of $8 million. This was reported back in March of 2011. Farrakhan reported that Libyan President Muammar Gaddafi had lent the Nation of Islam some $8 million over the years. So, debt canceled? The creditor no longer with us and his country in shambles at the hands of both Obama and Hillary Rodham Clinton. Interesting to say the least, right? Farrakhan is going to come up in the news in the near term as well. More. And his associations with lawmakers, including but not limited to Keith Ellison. Stay watch for that. This based on my research. In all of this together, a very combustible tinderbox that we are facing. There's a war that has been declared against white America. There's been a war declared against women, white women. There's a war that's been declared against Christians. And it's up to us to put on the armor of God. But I would also suggest putting on either a 45 or a 9mm as well. Eric says, what about the 40? He's a 40 guy, you know. I don't know. 40? Come on. That's like you can't decide, okay? I'd say go with the 45. It's got the stopping power. But then again, 9mm, you got you have more chances to hit the target. Tomorrow, Joe's going to be back. Some of the topics we're going to be talking about: FBI silent agents silenced on Hillary probe. Yeah, they were told to shut up. 282 Zika cases in Florida. You think that there could be something not exactly right about this? I see some problems with the Zika virus. in the how it plays right into the abortion agenda, and much more as Joe joins us tomorrow again, back from the OR. Good to have him back. Folks, I want to thank you so much for listening, being part of our program. May God bless you. Stay safe. Until tomorrow. Good night.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.